Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee of Prevent Connect, and I am pleased this morning to be able to speak with Joan Dobochnik and Sally Thigpen, who are the co-chairs of the Prevention Committee for the Association for the Treatment of Sex Abusers. It's great to have you here, and I'm really excited to be able to have the opportunity to share the work that ASSA is doing around the issues of the prevention of sexual violence and what's happening with the Prevention Committee. So, Joan, can you first start talking about what ASSA is?
ASSA stands for the Association for the Treatment of Sexual Abusers. ASSA is an international membership organization that is dedicated to preventing sexual abuse. And what makes ASSA unique is the way that we go about doing that work, which is looking at the evidence, practice, public policy, and sort of community strategies for looking at people who are sexually abusing or people who might be at risk to sexually abuse.
Can you talk about what ASSA's commitment is to primary prevention of sexual assault?
Recently, ASSA went through an extensive strategic planning process, trying to involve all of our membership as well as investment by the board. And what we came to really is, as an organization, we believe deeply in prevention and all aspects of prevention. I think that the majority of our work has been on the more tertiary level, but over the years, we have been working more with not just people who have abused, but people who are at risk to abuse, and most recently looking more at broader, what I think is primary prevention efforts. And I think that part of what came out of our strategic planning process, which I think would be important for people in the Prevent Connect listserv to know about, is that there really is a strong commitment from ASSA to want to explore new ways to collaborate more effectively in prevention efforts. And we feel like the work and the expertise that ASSA has to offer is a really important piece of the puzzle. We have invested and have a tremendous amount of experience around sexual violence prevention at the tertiary level, but we have a lot of information about perpetration and perpetration prevention that we think would complement the work that's already being done for many years by lots of people in the sexual violence prevention field.
You know, it's really exciting because when we look at the work that members of ASSA are doing, the research and the clinical work with sex offenders is really a great opportunity to be able to draw those learnings to really inform and improve and develop new ways of doing prevention. And you have such a wealth within the membership of ASSA. I know that recently a prevention committee conducted a survey of ASSA's membership about their prevention practices. Sally, can you describe the survey that you recently conducted?
We sent out a survey to the entire ASSA membership, which is right around 3,000 members. So it's a huge group of experts. We had about 450 who responded to our request. We were reinforced with things we already thought we knew about our membership and the work they do in prevention, but we also learned a lot about our members and how to connect them to prevention. And one of the results that was most striking were the similarities and the goals that ASSA members expressed, meaning community safety and prevention of sexual violence, that are also goals expressed by victim advocates. There's a lot that those two worlds have in common. And of course, both of those fields bring clinical expertise. And I think victim advocates also bring this connection to the community that's really important. The other thing about that, though, that we were a little more surprised was that most of the respondents weren't aware of what prevention activities were happening in their communities. They expressed an interest in participating in prevention, but they weren't really sure what was happening in their community. And they also mentioned that they don't get paid to participate in prevention activities. Everything they do is volunteer. And of course, time is money to this group of clinicians, these experts. However, in the victim advocacy world, a lot of folks who do that work, it's part of their job duty. They do a million things, of course, but one of the things that they do is prevention education. What that says to me is that our ASSA members are really interested in participating in prevention. They bring a lot of expertise and experience to the table to collaborate in that work, but they may not have the time to actually go out and seek out where it's happening. So the solution to bring these groups together to collaborate on the important work is to reach out to the folks in your community who are doing this kind of work, ASSA members who are providing services to the offending or at risk to offend populations. So I thought that was a really important thing to learn, that the prevention committee can maybe help bridge that gap that might exist in communities and help our at-the members sort of understand how to participate more in the prevention work that's happening in their community. Those at-the members who did say that they were currently participating in prevention activities are doing lots of great stuff. They're informing faith-based communities about policy. They're informing how to create chaperone programs and youth programs, and developing curriculum around healthy sexual development. So the work that they're contributing to is really great prevention work. So another thing the prevention committee hopes to do as a result of this survey is, bring this information to the larger membership so that everybody can share from the experiences of others.
When I had a chance to review the data, it was really exciting to be able to see this. I think in the same way that ATSA, in the treatment of sex, looking at treatment of sex abusers, has also been working with victim advocates trying to break down the, and I know here at the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, we have been very active with our different sex offender management and sex abuse treatment providers to be able to really look at the role of linking together victim advocacy and how that has to be go hand in hand with the issues of the treatment of sex of sexual abusers. In the same way, also, we're breaking down the barriers between prevention and treatment, and that we have to be able to look at those links and be able to see how they can be able to complement each other and move forward. And this, I think, is going to be this holistic way really can move forward to advancing prevention. Joan, do you have any other implications of this survey that you see that are relevant?
Yeah, well, I think what's so striking is that some of the questions that were asked of the ATSA members, that if you were to ask that of Rape Crisis Center, the answers would be very different but very complementary. So, for example, when we asked, who are the target audiences for your prevention work, the top ones that came out were individuals at risk for offending, professionals, and the families of victims and offenders. So it's very complementary, but it's also a very different and important group to be reaching out to. So knowing that, I mean, one of the things that we know and we recognize is that we also, because so much of ATSA, I mean, even the name, is about treatment, we really want to begin to frame internally that is an essential component of prevention. So we're using the survey as an opportunity to talk internally with what we're doing, to start sharing and disseminate information across different clinicians. So many people are sort of working fairly individually on their own in rural areas. So we want to be able to share that information. And then as we do that, it also, in my mindset, once we begin to share that information internally, it also gives us a vehicle to start putting things on our website and start sharing things externally. So that's what we are hoping to do in the next year, to really begin to take some of the expertise that is there, but be able to share that so that people are not recreating the wheel, and that we're also bringing in this perspective of how do you have the information and the research that we have about perpetration inform and more effectively inform our primary prevention efforts.
Right, and I think that to really recognize that with ATSA and the mission of ATSA and the missions of those who are doing other work around sexual violence prevention are indeed the same. It is to create a community without sexual violence and to be able to change the norms and the environmental factors to do that. So what do you see are some of the ways that ATSA members can be able to move forward to help advance prevention of sexual violence?
I think ATSA members offer such a huge amount of expertise. Over half of the respondents to the survey have well over 10 years of work experience in the field of sex offender treatment. And three quarters have more than 10 years working in fields that in some way touch upon sexual violence. So there's so much experience and expertise that come out of the membership that, as Joan mentioned, is complementary to the other work that exists out there to create this safer community, safer world, eliminate sexual violence. And so I think the role that ATSA members can play is really just a strong collaborator in the work. They bring this point of view, this expertise that's different from the expertise at the table in many ways. And in my previous life, I was a child sexual abuse prevention person, sort of at the state level. And some of what we were trying to do was add to what we were already doing in our state with sexual abuse prevention to add in this perspective of preventing perpetration and creating healthier environments. And I learned through that work that one of my biggest, strongest collaborative partners came from the ATSA membership. My ATSA folks in my state, not only did they bring the expertise that was missing from my table of collaborators, something that nobody else had in the room, they also lent a lot of credibility in the community because they brought this connection to the side of the issue that most people are, A, unfamiliar with and don't want to think about. And a lot of folks would rather think about, this is an issue that doesn't impact me, and I certainly don't know anybody who's at risk to harm somebody in this way. And what we were able to bring to light through this collaboration with our ATSA members was that we may know some folks who might be at risk, and we may actually have an impact to prevent that from happening, and this is how we can do it. And I don't think we could have had that conversation had it not been for our ATSA members. And it really, I saw a shift in the conversation that was happening in the communities that I worked with through this kind of collaboration. And I just hope to see through the survey and the prevention committee activities that we just see more and more ATSA members actively engaged with their community collaboratives who are working on sexual violence prevention, because I really think they're an important voice to have at the table.
The other piece is to think about how, for people who are sexual violence prevention practitioners, Joan, how do you see that they can be able to work with ATSA members and be able to make those connections? That's often the worlds that haven't intersected as much, though Sally gave some great examples of where it's made a difference.
There's a lot of information out there around people who sexually abuse, and we use that term people who sexually abuse because in that term, we're including adults, adolescents, and children. If someone actually is not familiar with the information, what we know, what we don't know about those populations, I think that ATSA is actually a really wonderful resource for finding that information out. And you can go to the ATSA website, which is www.atsa.com, to find out more information. And I think through that and through the office, you can just gather a lot of information, which I think is really actually helpful information to have. I think just as much as it's important for people who work with abusers to know about victim and victim issues, I think it's also important for people who work with victims to have an understanding, at least a general understanding around abuser issues as well. Also, in terms of people who want to reach more locally, that can call the ATSA office, email them their website. Through that, the office, they can put people in touch with local providers, with state chapters. Many of the states have a chapter of the national organization which do policy work, and particularly in my state, we actually work very closely with a number of the rape crisis centers, child advocacy centers, and the Sexual Assault Coalition. So I would say that if people are interested, there's information. If people do want to be able to bring that perspective to their work, the ATSA office is the best place to call to find out more local contacts and organizations.
Thank you so much, Joan Tabachnik and Sally Thigpen, who are the co-chairs of the Prevention Committee for the Association for the Treatment of Sexual Abusers. I'm really pleased to be able to have you here today and look forward to more of the work that ATSA is going to be doing in prevention, and we certainly will be highlighting this on Prevent Connect. So thank you much.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.